But I appreciate Ray's songs tonight that talk about singing and really the joy of singing. And so our worship and really our contemplation of spiritual things to a spiritually minded person should be a cause of really spiritual motivation, and it should be something that should rekindle our enthusiasms for spiritual things. And we should be spiritually exuberant people who are really excited about the things of God in, of course, a very spiritually controlled and sober way, but we're still joyous and excited about the things of God. And that brings us to, there's a word in the Bible that means something that I think maybe we say it and we're not thinking about what is the meaning of that word. It's kind of a religious filler word. And that word is the word amen. Someone told me they were teaching these kids and they asked them, now what does the word amen mean? And this little kid raised their hand and they said it means stop praying. Prayer over. Stop praying. Words are the vehicles of ideas. And the word amen is really an exclamation point. It's God's exclamation point that you read about in the Bible. There's no original punctuation in the original manuscripts. But anytime you see the word amen as an adverb or an interjection that is a response to what God has said, when it's a response to prayer or to praise or to Scripture, it means, so be it, this is true, I agree, I understand, I accept, and I support it. Amen. And this is a word, if you look in your concordance, it's translated, Jesus said, verily, verily, which means amen, amen, or truly, truly. And that word amen, is the same in the Hebrew as in the Greek, means it is an affirmation that this is true, this is right, so be it, I accept it, and it is a spiritual exclamation point. And on your outline, I say it's the effervescence of a fervent, faithful believer. That is, it is simply the enthusiasm or the response of when I hear Scripture being read, I'm agreeing to it. When I'm reading it at home or in here in the assemblies of the church or in our Bible classes, we should be thinking to ourselves, really, amen, this is true, I agree with it. And this is a word, I believe, that I want to read some passages, show how often it is used in the Bible. We're going to read a few passages from Psalms, and then we're going to read in the book of Revelation. In Psalm chapter 41 and verse 13, it says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. And notice there's a double amen. There's a double exclamation point. You know, sometimes somebody will send you an email and it might have one exclamation point. So if it's got two exclamation points, it means, yes, this is really important. So it is accentuates and emphasizes the truth of this, our understanding of it, our support of it, and our acceptance of it. Psalm 72 and verse 19 at the end of there's five different books of the Psalms. And at the end of three of them, you have these statements. Blessed be his glorious name forever. This is an affirmation or a praise of God. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Now, are we indifferent about that? Will it be okay? No. Amen. And amen. Psalm chapter 89 and verse 52. Psalm chapter 89 and verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Now that is not just a phrase that is used or a word that is found in the Old Testament. The word amen is found about 100 times in the Bible, over 100 times in the Bible. But if you look at the very last book in the Bible, and the very last verse, you know the word amen is the last word in the Bible? Now that is not just a little trivia fact. The last word of the Bible is amen. But it is an affirmation that Scripture is true and that we should accept it and support it. Look at verse 20 of Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies of these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus Christ. Amen. John says, amen. I want the Lord to come. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And so we need to be, every church needs to be God's Amen corner. Did you know there's an Amen corner in heaven? We're going to look at the verse in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14 where the four living creatures kept saying Amen in response to the worship of heaven. The four living creatures were saying Amen continually. Now, so two main points you'll look on your outline there. The meaning of Amen and the meaningful use of Amen. When I say the word Amen, it is not a religious filler word. It's not a word that we just say because we're supposed to say it, or we're at the end of a prayer and we want to quit and go home. Now, I was one congregation where a fellow who wasn't sure exactly how to end his prayer. He told song leaders not to call on him because he wasn't comfortable leading public prayer, but we had a new song leader that didn't know that and called on him, and so he started to lead the prayer, and he wasn't exactly sure how to end the prayer, and he said, "And thank you for everything, and good night." Well, the meaning of amen comes from, or derives from, the idea that the Bible, interesting scripture in Isaiah 65 and verse 16, that God is the God of amen. That's one of the titles of Jehovah God in the Bible. Isaiah talks about the messianic era with the restoration of Israel looking to the coming of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 65 and in verse 16, because he who is blessed in the earth shall be blessed by the God of truth. That's the New American Standard. I think the King James also has the God of truth. The New Revised Standard says the God of faithfulness. The Hebrew word is the word amen. Used in the sense that God is the God of truth. He is the God of surety. He is the God of that is trustworthy, that we can rely upon Him. So if I am, God promises that He's going to bless us in the Messianic era, it is as good as done. I can count on that. The noun aman means, a noun means to be firm, to be sure, to be reliable and trustworthy. And then the adverb, amen, as a response to that which is true or sure or reliable, means truly, surely, verily, I agree. God is the God of amen, the God of truth. Now you think about what a profound fact that is. The Bible says that God cannot lie. And that means that it is contrary to the nature of God, that God is the God of truth, that God will never lie to us, that God will never be unworthy of our absolute total trust. God doesn't change. He doesn't vacillate. He is not fickle. He does not become weak, so He cannot fulfill His promises. The Bible says that God is the same. Malachi 3, I, the Lord, change not. So that is the immutability of God. God cannot change for in any way. He's perfect and infinite and absolute, and He is completely reliable. I like, you remember the song that we sometimes sing, the leaning on the everlasting arms, or leaning on the arms of Jesus. And it's from, the thought is from Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Our God is a refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And what does that mean, underneath are the everlasting arms? That is, underneath us, when we falter and we feel like we can't go on or hold up, God is there. He can hold us up. We can always lean on Him. Because underneath are the everlasting arms. Hebrews 6:18 says it is impossible for God to lie. So when you read it in the Bible, and God says it, it is true, and we can rely on it because He is the God of amen. And I believe that's very important. In this world of relativism, we need to find something that's absolute and true, that doesn't change. And when we read the words of God, Jesus said, your word is truth. We have found something that we can put our full weight down on, something that is true in a world of falsehood and deceit. Secondly, when we think about the meaning of amen, did you know that Jesus Christ Himself is God's amen to all of His promises? What is the ultimate proof that God would fulfill all the good promises that He intends for us in saving us. How do I know that God really cares about me? How do I know that God loves me and God wants me to be with Him in heaven and He wants to bless my life? Because I can't directly touch God. I can't directly feel God. How do I know that? Well, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's one of the titles of Christ. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, when Jesus addressed the seven churches of Asia, He always identified Himself in some way to reveal His identity. And He says, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. The Laodiceans were wishy-washy or lukewarm. And the word meaning Jesus is the Amen, meaning that Jesus is firm, that He is reliable, and that He's the faithful and the true witness. Jesus, under pressure, did not falter when He faced the cross. He made the good confession, as Paul said, before Pontius Pilate. And so, Jesus Christ is the personal guarantee of all of God's promises. If God can accomplish what He did through Jesus Christ, then I know He can bring everything else to fruition. And I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 when it makes a statement about Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for as many as are the promises of God in Him, that is Jesus, they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Paul had some critics at Corinth. They said that he was vacillating and fickle, and that's why he didn't come. And Paul was saying the gospel that he preached was ultimately reliable and true. And he says that that looks to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the personal amen to all the promises of God. That in Christ we find all that we truly need. That is forgiveness and healing and hope and assurance and acceptance and meaning and power for living. Isaiah 55 verse 3 calls Jesus the Messiah, the sure mercies of David. Now, when Jesus Himself was on earth, He spoke, and only Jesus did this, of the writers of the New Testament, only Jesus used the term amen, amen, to preface a statement that He would make. In the King James, it will say, verily, verily, I say unto you, or verily. The New American Standard translates that, truly, I say to you, or truly, truly. That's used 54 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and 25 times, truly, truly, in the Gospel of John. So that's 79 times that when Jesus would say something, He is saying this is profound, this is weighty, and He is speaking with divine authority. And I want to look at a few. Okay, how about that? Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Jesus says, verse 70, do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, or amen I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Jesus spoke the words of divine truth, and He said that He came to fulfill the law of Moses. He was going to fulfill the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was going to be done away with or made obsolete by the fulfillment of Him in the gospel. And in fact, He also said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, He says, when you give to the poor, He's talking about religious show-offs here, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so they may be honored by men. Truly, amen, truly I say to you, they will have their reward in full. That's all they're going to get. They're not going to have any reward. They're going to be lost. You've got religious hypocrites, and Jesus is saying that He has the authority to pronounce judgment about their eternal destiny. He said in Matthew 24, truly I say to you, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That is, He is Jehovah God, God incarnate. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, I give you the terms of eternal life. You either accept them or you don't accept them. Jesus is saying he speaks with divine authority. They're not suggestions. Divine authority, they'll stand in judgment of all of us. Jesus is God's amen. Now, for us, what is the meaningful use of amen? When we respond to the God of amen and Jesus says God's amen to us, how do we respond? Well, the Bible uses it in an amen to prayer. And you have some various prayers. I'm just going to read from one prayer here in Romans chapter 15 and verse 33. He says it very simply, "Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen." That's an intercessory prayer, Paul's prayer for them. And there's several other passages we could look at. I've listed several passages on the outline. We're not going to read all of them. But you have an example of a prayer, and at the end of that prayer, you have the word, they have amen. Now, of course, I think we all understand that that is means so be it, or it's an affirmation. However, it's interesting that maybe there's been a change over the last several years that brethren used to, in a rousing unison, would amen a prayer. Now, and I want you to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 6. It talks about saying the amen in a prayer. Do you say amen to the prayer? If you're saying amen, that means you're listening. You're paying attention. It also means you understand. I understand what he said, and it means I agree and I support that prayer. Now, I think it's maybe possible to say amen to yourself or silently, but that's not the normal usage of the word. The 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 16 says, "Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying?" And he's referring to the exercise of spiritual gifts. And if you do not have an interpreter, or you do not have a tongue that speaks in a language they understand, how will the person listening, if he can't understand, say the amen? So he is assuming then the apostolic practice of the congregation affirming what is said. The word say, lego, means to utter or to put forth. Now, Vine says, "The early Christian churches followed the example of Israel in associating themselves audibly with the prayers and thanksgivings offered on their behalf. Moreover, this custom conforms to the pattern of things in the heavens." Now, that is a reference to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14, where it talks about the living creature continues to say amen. And that's Vine's comment on this particular verse. And it says that the church in Acts 4, verse 24, they continued in one accord. So the word say is normally vocal and it's not silent. So I wonder, why are there not more vocal amens to prayer? I wonder why that's changed. I have no idea. I've talked to, some of you may know, have heard of Rufus Clifford, preacher I know that he preached in Middle Tennessee and preached in a lot of gospel meetings. Some of you may know of Granville Tyler. I believe he preached in Alabama. And I asked them and talked to them, and they said they remember back in the 30s and 40s and 50s that the normal practice at the end of a prayer is generally brethren would say amen. They would amen the prayer. And when you have everybody amening the prayer, that is a vocal affirmation. It is a unifying exercise that we agree, we are unified, and we support this prayer. Now, I know that sometimes women may be concerned when the Bible says that women keep silent in the church, that they're not, maybe it'd be inappropriate for them to say amen. And all I can say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 through 35, when he says, "Let women be silent, let women keep silent in the church," and he says they are to subject themselves as the law also says. And so what he's talking about is that women cannot speak so as to indicate they are not in subjection. That is, they can't take over and be in leadership. Now, women speak, for example, you have alto leads where women are speaking, or if a woman comes forward and we may ask her to make a public confession, "Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And if she says before the assembly, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, she's speaking in the assembly, but she's in subjection. She's not leading or taking over the assembly. So I believe that it would be permissible. Now, of course, if someone's not comfortable with that, that's obviously you shouldn't do that. You wouldn't want to do anything to make your conscience feel violated. But I believe the idea of saying the amen is what the congregation was, the general practice of a congregation. And then you also have in the New Testament, you have the amen to praise. That when you're praising God, the normal effervescent or the enthusiastic response is to want to say amen. That is, I agree. I'm not neutral about this. And you have in 1 Chronicles 16 where they praise the Lord and all the people said amen. In 1 Timothy, I'm going to read two verses out of 1 Timothy where you have two doxologies or statements of praise to God. And notice how Paul punctuates that with the saying of amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When you contemplate the greatness of God as the four living creatures before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 14, when you contemplate the greatness of God, you really can't be neutral about that. If you believe in God and you are a worshiper of God, you want to say amen. I affirm that God is great. It is my spiritual exclamation point of faith. So when we praise God and exalt His greatness, amens accentuate our exuberant awe. And you can see that in the verses that I've listed there in the book of Revelation. When they're before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 7, you see two different amens when they are praising God in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 10. And they cry out with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen! Amen! Amen to everything what was just said in verse 10. That salvation belongs to God. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen! So the vocabulary of faith, if I see God clearly, is that I want to accentuate my support of and my support of the greatness of God. Now, one of the things that's interesting to me, there are several hymns, or there's a few hymns in our hymn book. At the end of the hymn, it says, amen. And you know what brethren generally do? They ignore it. Why? I have no idea. I remember as a little kid, we were singing a song, and I noticed that amen was at the end of the song, like, now the day is over. And one time, the song leader decided to say, amen. And nobody else said anything. I said, well, is it wrong? Are we doing something wrong? Why are we not doing that? And I remember someone wrote a question. There was a preacher that had A.C. Grider had a question and answer column in this bulletin, and someone wrote him the question. Well, actually, it was me. I wrote him the question. And he responded that if we mean what we are saying, we don't need to say amen. Well, the point is then, why do they say it in the Bible? So that's just odd. There's some song. We've done that here. There's been a song that we sang had amen at the end. It just wasn't sung. So it's the idea of the spiritual exclamation point. I agree, I support, God is great. And so I've listed some verses that have some different statements of praise to God where the Bible uses the word amen. Third and last point here under the meaningful use of amen is the amen to Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses in Deuteronomy 27 was enunciating the 12 curses for not obeying the law. In Deuteronomy 27 in verse 15, and it repeats this 12 times, all the people shall answer and say, amen. We understand, we support, and we accept what the Scripture says. And so when we say amen to Scripture, there is the idea of acceptance and support with obedient intent. You have other passages where when a statement of Scripture is made, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 1 and verse I'm going to read verse 6 because you have two amens there, where you have amen to praise and then you have an amen to Scripture. Verse 6, He made us to be a kingdom, a priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's an amen to praise. Now here's an amen to Scripture. Here's an affirmation of Scripture. Verse 7, Behold, He is coming with the clouds and every eye will see Him. Even those who pierced Him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. So it is to be amen. Now I get these nonverbal amens when I'm preaching and I'll notice somebody will nod their head. Now what I would like to do, and I don't think I can do this, what I would like to do is I say, okay, let's stop right here. I'm going to go here and I'm going to underline that. Good point right there. But that would be too disruptive. So I sometimes try to remember that. But in Scripture, you have in the Old Testament, and you have in passages we're going to look at, there are amens or affirmations that I agree and I support, and I'm going to do what the Scriptures say. And a great illustration of that, that shows that listening to preaching is worship, is in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. I'm going to read from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6. This is after the return from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah helped rebuild the walls in 445 B.C. And with the rebuilding of the walls, the restoration of the walls, they also need a restoration of obedience to the law because the people had strayed from the time that Ezra had come back about 10 years before. And it says in verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And that was a customary way to show respect, to stand up at the reading of Scripture. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and amen, lifting up their hands when they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So when Ezra blessed God, and also he's going to read from the Scriptures. That's what he's doing. He's reading from the Scriptures, and these scribes are going to translate the sense, explain the law, verse 7. And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating it. The people, what were they doing? In their response, they would say, Amen. Amen. That's right. I agree with that. We need to do that. So you have an example of a worshipful response to what Scripture says. And I listed there, and we're not going to read these, but you look at the end of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation. At the very end, or almost at the very end, to punctuate the amen to Scripture, You see that key word of faith is listed there. Now I've noticed, as far as I mentioned about prayer, hardly anybody says amen vocally to prayers. I would say in places that I've gone, brethren have got where they basically don't say that. If brethren did that, I think it would just show that we're paying attention and that, I think it's rousing, I think it's motivating, I think it's encouraging. That's the normal way that say amen is used. I believe a person can say it to themselves. However, you have these examples of when Scripture is read, people say amen. Now, sometimes people think that that's being disruptive. I remember, actually, it's encouraging to a preacher. You know, someone said, saying amen to a preacher, Robert Jackson said, saying amen to a preacher is like pouring gasoline on a fire. And someone said, set your preacher on fire and people will come and watch him burn. Now, it's interesting that there are some preachers I've known in the past that discourage people from saying amen. When they're preaching, for example, Foy Wallace Jr., I was told by Hoyt Houchin, who spent a lot of time with him, he was the editor of the Gospel Advocate in the 1930s, And Brother Houghton said he was listening to Brother Wallace preach a sermon, and someone said, amen. And Brother Wallace stopped and said, that point will stand with or without any amen. I don't know why he would say that. I don't know if he thought that was distracting from what he was saying. But another time, I was listening to a fellow speak over in Nashville, Tennessee, and I said amen during the sermon, and the preacher stopped and said he would prefer people didn't say amen. Okay, so I didn't say that again. However, and I remember, I think it was in 1984, I was preaching in Charlotte, Tennessee, and the first time I got an amen during a sermon, I was totally surprised. This fellow said, amen, and it's like I just went into hyperbolic overdrive, you know. Just, wow, this is exciting. Someone agrees, and they're going to say so. Now, you have 1 Peter. I'm going to conclude with 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, where Paul talks about, which applies to preaching, 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks is to speak, as it were, the utterances of God. And whoever serves is to do as the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Peter says, amen. Gleason Archer says, saying amen to prayer, to praise or to scripture, means one puts himself into the statement with all the earnestness of faith and the intensity of desire. Psalm 106, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. The New Testament precept. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So if we want God to be glorified in our minds and in our hearts and with our lips, we need to be thinking and saying amen and then backing it up with the support that we will obey what the Scriptures say.